This is episode 25 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Dr. James Madden's book, Unidentified Flying Hyperobject, UFOs, Philosophy and the End of the World. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I'll put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And so if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to read an extract from chapter 3, and this is what James has written. Let's call anyone who believes that UFOs are actual entities that defy our ordinary categories of explanation UFO realists. The UFO realist is then claiming that the phenomenon demands an increase in our ontological commitment. That is, in addition to the things we ordinarily enumerate on our list of real beings, say bears, mountains, trees, human beings, electrons, love, viruses, wrestling machines, etc., the UFO realist will also count UFOs as an additional category of beings. Of course, this doesn't mean that all the items on our ontological list are the same kind of thing, but they are all real things. Love and mountains are different kinds of things, but they are both realities. Thus, we should not fall quickly into the trap of thinking the UFO is at all like any of the other things in our inventory of the real as it previously stood. That cautionary note must be kept in mind for all of our subsequent discussion in this book. A UFO anti-realist is then anyone who denies UFO realism, i.e., she does not believe that UFOs demand our positing another ontological category. For example, the most common version of UFO anti-realism is what Vallée calls the natural phenomena hypothesis, according to which all the reports can be explained as a combination of observing errors, classical atmospheric phenomena, and man-made objects, and possibly combined with little-known psychological illusions which are of no relevance to physics. On this view, since we already have such things as atmospheric phenomena, the infamous swamp gas, projective illusions, secret government technology, etc., in our accounting of things, the UFO phenomenon does not demand that we add another ontological category. The UFO anti-realist does not deny that experiences are seeing something, even something that appears quite anomalous, but she argues that these appearances are deceptive and can be accounted for without addition to our mundane list of things. According to the UFO anti-realist, the UFO is merely an appearance of or construction from things already in our inventory of the universe. All that is needed for the UFO anti-realist is an account of how the phenomenal appearance of UFOs can be reduced to standard elements of our ontology. Of course, this presumes that we have some pre-given, settled ontology, but surely that's not really the case. For example, a religious believer already committed to the existence of angels and demons might account for UFOs as cases of such entities. Would that claim to be an expression of UFO realism or anti-realism? The religious person accounting for UFOs as angels or demons isn't adding anything to her ontology, but of course, a lot of people don't recognize angels and demons as real beings. To avoid such tough questions, let's say a UFO realist accounts for UFOs by adding an ontological category over and above those we would expect just about anybody to accept. I don't think most believers in angels and demons expect just about everyone to share this view. So someone claiming UFOs are angels or demons is then a UFO realist. Occam long ago wisely advised that we ought not generate ontological categories frivolously, and Vallée would certainly be inclined to err on the side of anti-realism, if the evidence allowed him to do so. Nevertheless, despite this well-placed ontological stinginess, Vallée believes that the ship has simply sailed with respect to UFO anti-realism. Ballet has a great deal of sympathy for an explanation of the UFO in terms of psychological and archetypical projection, but that does not account for the empirical nitty-gritty of the phenomenon. Even Carl Jung, the master of projective explanation, resisted resting comfortably in such a conclusion, because the phenomena leave such clear physical traces and therefore support some sort of realist interpretation. Moreover, Vallée does not deny that many of the reports are occasioned by encounters with secret government technology or even intentional psyops by intelligence services. But here too, these explanations do not address the most salient cases. Thus, UFO realism should be our grudging conclusion. It is implausible to suppose that we can reduce the UFO phenomenon to anything in our standard, everyday ontology. At least I'm willing to operate under the working assumption of UFO realism. Any reasonable look into the evidence will show that UFO realism is plausible enough, even if not entirely probable, to warrant the efforts to construct an interpretive model, which is what I will begin in this and the following two chapters. Does all this then commit the UFO realist to claim that we've been visited by intelligent beings from another planet? Vallée believes that the inference to an affirmative answer is something of an unquestioned intuition among many, really most, UFO realists, but it is a product of a hasty and unsound line of reasoning. This is not how Vallée puts it in his paper, but I believe it is a fair reconstruction of the implicit argument he is criticising. Number one, either UFO realism or UFO anti-realism. Number two, if UFO realism, then the extraterrestrial hypothesis is likely true. Number three, that the UFO anti-realism is untenable. Therefore, UFO realism is most likely true, and the extraterrestrial hypothesis is very likely true. That's a fine argument, except that there are very good reasons to doubt the premise. Vallée defines the ETH as the claim that UFOs are physical devices controlled by intelligent beings from another planet who are visiting Earth as part of a scientific survey, very much in the fashion we ourselves plan to follow in exploring remote planetary environments. In other words, the ETH is the standard "It's little green men from Alpha Centauri" explanation. Certainly, to say that the extraterrestrial hypothesis is very likely true is strictly false, i.e., there are other possible versions of UFO realism such that a commitment to UFO realism as such does not itself entail that one must accept the ETH. For example, Vallée himself seems to have had some sympathy for the proposal that UFOs are interdimensional or wormhole travellers, and he is very suggestive of what he calls the control system hypothesis. Moreover, in Five Arguments Against the Extraterrestrial Origin Unidentified Flying Objects, Vallée makes a very strong case that the ETH is highly improbable given the data we have about UFOs as they appear to us. Thus, it is hard to say that the extraterrestrial hypothesis has anything going for it. As the title of his article indicates, Vallée makes five arguments against ETH. I find all of these arguments fairly strong, but the most important for me is the case he makes based on the reported physiology of the beings supposedly operating these craft. The vast majority of reported aliens have a humanoid shape that is characterized by two legs, two arms and a head, supporting the same organs of perception we have, in the same number and general appearance. Their speech uses the same frequency range as ours, and their eyes are adapted to see the same general segment of the electromagnetic spectrum. This indicates a genetic formulation that does not appear to differ from the human genome by more than a few percent. It should be kept in mind that the human shape has evolved in response to an extremely narrow set of constraints. How then can we expect that extraterrestrial visitors from a completely different planetary environment would not only resemble us, but breathe our air and walk normally on the Earth? Okay, so this week I was reading from James Madden's book, Unidentified Flying Hyperobject, UFOs, Philosophy, and the End of the World. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And if you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is now a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFO Podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.